The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. That University of Washington story you just had, which is breaking news.
Yes.
So, 19-year-old girl in critical condition.
At last check.
Just this morning, I'm driving in here. I had an appointment up in Edmond, so I came in a little later than usual. And there's an elementary school right at the top of the road above the radio station. And I think they must have been 2 hours late because parents were just dropping the kids off as I was driving by. And I saw these two little girls, and they were running down the sidewalk. And it was like I almost wanted, except I would have been a really creepy guy in a car, but I almost went, you know, it's really icy, you guys.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember the first time I ever got a legitimate fat lip, and I was about 6 years old, and I just slipped on a patch of ice and came down right on my face. And when I hear this University of Washington story, it just, every parent, when we send our kids off to college, you just hope that you never get a phone call like these parents are getting now.
And it's just a reminder that, I mean, it's sunny. It looks like it should, you know, it's like, okay, we're just overdoing it on this snow and ice discussion. But there are areas that, you know, just haven't gotten much sun. I mean, and it just hasn't gotten very warm.
In our driveway, we've got like 8 inches of snow where the sun hasn't hit.
Yeah.
And then part of the driveway is just bare and dry. And yeah, if the sun's not hitting it, I was sick when I just heard that story. So we'll keep you posted on that throughout the afternoon. Got a lot of other news to talk about as we get into this hour's Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
One of the issues that I have very publicly wrestled with pretty much my entire career, and I've been very honest with you about my misgivings about the death penalty. I believe that it is the worst part of me that has endorsed the death penalty, and I think the better part of me just says that life is precious, whether, you know, whoever it is, whether it's a baby or somebody who's done something horrible, and that it's not up to us to play God. And so I've always very publicly wrestled with the death penalty. And I've never fully come down and said, I think it should be abolished, although there's a big part of me that does feel that way. I think that the part of me that still clings to wanting the death penalty is a revenge factor. I do not believe that we are safer because of the death penalty. Now, there is some provable ways to contradict what I just said, and that's Jamie Bindle, the prison guard in Monroe, who was murdered in prison by a guy who was serving life without the possibility of parole. He got a free pass for that death. He suffers no additional consequence for that murder. And so if somebody's already in prison for life without the possibility of parole, and then kills one of our correctional officers, how can we say that he should get no additional punishment for that? And of course, the only way to escalate life without parole is the death penalty. But will I be horribly upset if this legislative session says Washington is no longer a death penalty state? No, I won't be. I do not cling unyieldingly to endorsement of the death penalty. And I bring this up because it does appear that this legislative session, the death penalty will be abolished here in Washington. The Democrats are in control, and Reuven Carlisle made the case for getting rid of the death penalty. Our reporter Hannah Scott was there.
It's been a long public discourse the last 10 or 15 years in our state and in our country about this issue. The result of that civic discourse in the last number of years has been a growing recognition that the data shows that the death penalty is applied in a way that is not consistent and that has serious gaps on every level.
Okay. And there is far more compelling data that says it has not been unevenly applied here in Washington, that it's been applied almost identical proportion to the proportion of violent crime committed by various groups. And so that is absolutely what the Democrats are pitching, is that it's a disproportionate application of the death penalty. And they cite a university study, but I have seen equally compelling studies that say their study is nonsense. As I said, the reason that I'd be okay with abolishing the death penalty is even for these people who have committed horrific crimes, I don't think it's up to us to play God, to play life or death. And just as I've been talking about that with, the Virginia and New York State abortion issues this last week, where I don't think it's up to us to play God on what is a human life seconds before birth. And I know people say, you can't say the same thing about a murder, about an innocent man. Yeah, you can't. I think that it's hypocritical to say, I love life, but I want to kill you. Or, even more hypocritical, the people who are against the death penalty, but for babies being killed. That to me, I'll never be able to reconcile. But that seems to be the position of most Americans. And I'm coming down on being against both. Although I'm still wrestling with that death penalty one. And I'll tell you why I still wrestle with it. Because victims' families so often say that they would like to see the ultimate punishment. And I remember, I hope I'm getting the name right. I didn't know I was going to go down this pathway and talking about this. I believe it was, Nicole, would you quickly Google Charles Campbell and Clearview? Charles Campbell, if this is the executed prisoner that I remember, who lives, Charles Campbell?
Yes.
Charles Campbell brutally murdered a woman in front of her little kids as they got home from school, murdered the kid. Does it say how many children he murdered? I know he murdered a mom and a child. As I said, I'm going off the top of my head here. And
victims three.
So. Okay, three. Yeah, so I think it was a mom, and I think it was a mom, a friend of the mom's, and a kid, if I remember. Anyway, Charles Campbell, he was to be hanged. We still had the gallows here in Washington State. And I vividly remember as a young man hearing about Charles Campbell, and he's sitting in his prison cell, the hours before his hanging, before his execution, terrified. And I remember they had to get guards to grab him, and I believe they had to sedate him. And they strapped him to a backboard so he couldn't thrash. And he was still, if I remember this correctly, and I think I do, I believe he was still strapped to that backboard as the floor dropped open and Charles Campbell faced the ultimate punishment. Now, do I think it's the best part of me that kind of liked the revenge factor, the fact that the terror, the pure human horror that he inflicted on his victims, that he actually suffered a little bit of that? Yeah. Yeah. And I know that victims' family members want some measure of that level of revenge. And so when I hear compelling words from victims' families, I still think that should be given some weight in this debate about the death penalty. Jamie Bindle, the Monroe prison guard, who was murdered on the job. Lisa Ham is her name. And she says that her sister's killer literally got away with murder with no additional punishment.
He got away with murder. He absolutely got away with murder because he was already in for life without parole. So there is no punishment for him. He will get to go ahead and keep living his life in prison like he was before and maybe murder someone else.
Okay, I'm just getting additional memory refresher on Charles Campbell. He had raped this mom. He had raped her, went to prison for that, got out of prison, and then wanted to go and eliminate his victim. So then she hadn't been notified that he had been released. And he went up to Clearview and murdered her and her kid. And so, yeah, I mean, that's a monster. And there's a bad part of me. When I heard that he was so terrified that was some measure of revenge. But I don't think we should carry out societal punishment based on revenge. I also think about people who get life in prison without the possibility of parole. And they have moments of joy, which they've taken away from their victims and their victims' family members and loved ones forever. You know, maybe it's a joke with a fellow inmate that makes them laugh. Maybe it's a ray of sunlight that comes through the prison bars. Whatever it is, they get some moments of joy that they've denied their victims. When they kill a child, those parents suffer every second of every minute of every day for the rest of their lives. There's a part of me that doesn't like keeping them alive either. And that's why I wrestle with it. I'm just trying to be as honest with you as possible. So, in Olympia yesterday, I heard this soundbite from a former state corrections secretary, Dick Morgan. And he's talking about the prison guard, Jamie Bindle, who was murdered, and how her killer got away with murder. And as I was listening to the soundbite, I heard it earlier today during Tom and Curly's show, and because Hannah Scott was talking about covering this yesterday. And as I was listening to the former state corrections director speak,
I can certainly understand the sentiment of, particularly when you're talking about Officer Bindle being murdered by someone who was already doing life in prison work. Any inmate can act out and you can wind up being murdered by that person.
You know, as I'm listening to this, I'm just thinking, please don't say but, please don't say but.
It's a thought that never leaves those that work in prisons.
Please don't say but. Please don't say but.
But the threat of a death penalty doesn't change that.
Well, yeah, it does. If you get and then he went on to say, we can give them additional punishment if they get life without the possibility of parole already. We can put them in solitary. Ooh, a timeout for killing somebody. And so I wrestle with it, but it looks like there's almost no opposition now to the Democrats' effort to abolish the death penalty. In the past, there has been a lot, like Jamie Bindle's family, they told Hannah Scott, they said, you know what, we're not even going to show up to oppose this because it looks like a fait accompli, that Washington State is going to abolish the death penalty. And it's so rarely applied, and I wrestle with it so much, and I continue to. I'd love to hear what you think about all this, but it looks like almost a certainty that we're going to abolish the death penalty here in Washington. Drop me a text. Online Trading Academy, text line 98973. That's 98973. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
So this morning was really the first day with kind of normal number of commuters on the roads because Monday and Tuesday were snow days for so many workers around Western Washington. So today was really the first test of that new Seattle tunnel. 3 years late, hundreds of millions over budget, reduced the capacity of the Alaskan Way Viaduct, eliminated exits to downtown. If you start through the dory hole, you got to come out the other end of the dory hole. And then there's only one exit to get to the north end of downtown. Well, guess what happened this morning? The Dory Hole was horribly clogged. 4 mile backup, people sitting for ages because every car that was going through the tunnel had to get off at the north end of downtown so they could circle back to get into downtown. Now, as our Chris Sullivan reported, the exit at the south end of downtown for northbound traffic, that's not open yet. It will be in a few days. And so you don't have the option, once you get on 99, of exiting at the south end of downtown. If you want to get downtown, you got to go through the tunnel, take that first exit, and then boom, 4 mile backup today. But what this is a reminder of is that Mayor Durkin has made one of her absolute top priorities with sleazy people like Mike O'Brien, who have contempt for the poor, who have nothing but raw disregard for families that can't afford $500 a year in tolling, and they might have to get out of the tunnel, drive through downtown. Absolute top priority for the Mike O'Briens and Jenny Durkins in the next year or two is to toll every street in downtown Seattle. Jenny Durkin made that ridiculously imbecilic statement that they do this in London and it works because London has a fully built out subway system, subway and train system that they started building more than 100 years ago. We will have a system that is an absolute miserable failure that will be obsolete by the time Sound Transit gets built out at all. It was such a stupid statement by Jenny Durkin. It was jaw-droppingly stupid. But this reminder, when you have that 4 mile backup for a tunnel that's hundreds of millions of dollars over budget, when you have politicians whose top priority is to toll every street, not just in downtown. That'll be the next step. But then after that, they want to toll every inch of, and I've had state senators who have confirmed the news that I first broke 18 years ago when I was tipped off on the 20-year plan to toll every inch of every road in the region. That the tunnel is not going to be able to handle this capacity, and cars are going to be diverted onto downtown streets, and our politicians have an insatiable desire to get your money any way they can. And that's why we've got to stand up against this tolling throughout downtown Seattle, because it is the next incremental step before carrying out the plan to toll every road in the region. Mark my words, everything I've told you about this plan for a long, long time has been 100% accurate. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, my goodness. We have a fantastic midweek batch of awesome audio of the day. It's coming up right after Slow Checks the News here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, we have a very controversial, awesome audio today. You might have to be the tiebreaker. Do you have time to be the tiebreaker
I
vote?
I actually don't have a doctor's appointment at 3. Okay. Darn it.
All right. Because it's rife with controversy.
It's not that controversial. I'm right.
Oh, okay. It's just controversial between you and Nicole.
Yeah. My life is riddled with controversy. Let's get right to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Our favorite sound bites are brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Oh, man. Brown Bear. I was thinking they're a great sponsor. After this snow, I'm looking at how filthy every single car on the road is. Go wash it at Brown Bear, for crying out loud. Okay, at number, you think the controversial one is number one?
Well,
I think that's controversial in and of itself.
Well, there you go.
Okay. All right, I'll save. I'll save the controversy. At number three,
we better get to it.
Senator Cory Booker is going to run for president. And this has been a really bad couple of days for Democrats, okay? The Virginia governor, infanticide, blackface, KKK, hood and robe, okay? Next in line, the lieutenant governor in Virginia, allegedly raped, sexually assaulted a now Stanford professor in what he claims was a consensual relationship 15 years ago. So next in line, Democrat attorney general admits to wearing blackface to look like a rapper at a party years ago. So next up's a Republican. Then you have Elizabeth Warren, fake American Indian, card written in her handwriting, claimed on her Texas bar entrance that she was an American Indian after she had said for years, I never used it to gain any advantage. Then he got Cory Booker, who's considered a rising star in the Democratic Party. And he could not have sounded more idiotic than when he was questioning a nomination for a seat on the bench as a judge. Cory Booker asking this judge candidate unbelievable questions.
Number three.
Have you ever had an LGBTQ law clerk?
I've not been a judge, so I don't have any law clerks.
First of all, what an obsession with Democrats. Have you ever had an LGBTQ law clerk? He knew that she had never been a judge before. So just that question in and of itself was idiotic, showed that he had not prepped at all. But then listen to how he tries to recover.
Have you ever had an LGBTQ law clerk?
I've not been a judge, so I don't have any law clerks.
I'm working for you.
I'm to be honest, I don't know the sexual orientation of my staff.
What a question. It is illegal, Cory Booker, to ask the sexual orientation of job candidates in the United States. But because you and your party are so obsessed with things like LGBTQ, you ask her if she ever asked an illegal question of a candidate. And I can tell you with certainty that I've hired people to work on this show. And not only have I never asked them their sexual orientation, I couldn't possibly care less. And that's just a case of the obsessiveness of identity politics with people like Cory Booker and Democrats. That's all they seem to care about is identity politics, and it just makes them look idiotic. At number two in our awesome audio, Bernie Sanders. He was being asked about, what do you think, since you're one of the torch carriers, one of the standard bearers of the Democratic Party and the socialists, Bernie, what do you think about the Virginia governor, either having blackface or a KKK hood and robe? Bernie Sanders was too engrossed in a phone call on his cell phone to answer that question.
Number two.
Do you believe Justin Fairfax, his accuser? His accuser. Okay, all right. Okay.
Okay, you hear Bernie Sanders is talking on the phone. He goes, Ari, okay.
Okay. What time are you down?
Bernie Sanders continues his phone conversation.
Excuse me.
And then he pulls the phone down. Goes, excuse me, I'm talking on the phone here.
You're not on the phone.
Excuse me.
Sir.
And then the camera goes down to Bernie Sanders' phone, and he's not talking. You can see the screen, but there's no phone call on it. He was pulling that, I'm going to just fake a phone call so I don't have to talk to somebody. Well played, Bernie, well played. And now for the controversy. I can't stand this guy in our number one audio of the day. This is a guy down in Australia. He was photographed using a baby shark as a bong.
And let's be clear, the shark was dead.
Yes. But there's a video that shows him. He put something. He cut a slit by the top fin. Is that the dorsal fin of this baby shark? And then he has something else going through the head, and he's smoking through the cavity that goes from the head to the mid-body on the shark.
Correct.
And I said, I can't stand this guy.
Well, but let me be clear. I can't stand the guy either. He seems like kind of a butthead, really.
But that was the whole point of the controversy.
No, the controversy is you said that for this act, you wanted to do mean things to him. And I said, what's the difference between this or mounting a head on a wall or use... I mean, hello, people are trying to become trees here. I mean, their body, you're dead, and we've established that once you're dead, what... It is what it is. And I just think this is no worse.
And there's a big Facebook group that has popped up defending him, taking your point of view, that once the shark's dead, doesn't matter if you cut it up as chum or if you use it as a bong.
Although, what I would say, I hope that he used some of it as shark bait or something.
No,
like,
he didn't.
I hope that there's some reason to killing this animal. I mean, I'm not for, you know, African safari hunting. This doesn't mean I'm all for that stuff.
I couldn't stand
it. I'm just saying.
I was just
this
glad.
Particular act.
I'm just saying I was glad in a separate video when he was holding a big fish or a shark next to his chest and this happened.
Number one.
Got a bit bigger one this time. I'm f***ing myself. Look at this bobby.
What he was holding up is a dead fish or baby shark.
No,
took a big chunk
this is a live fish.
Out of his chest. Well, he thought it was dead. Took a big chunk out of his chest.
No, he was letting it bite him. That was what he was doing in this video, was letting this fish bite him. He thought it'd be funny. He's
right
an idiot.
With controversy. Okay, today's sign next. Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Oh, and I really meant what I said earlier, that I am so appreciative to you, to have you along for this crazy ride that we are on, both locally and nationally, knowing that we're all in this together, you and me. Man, I have never needed you more. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the noon hour when our podcast gets up, because I had a lot to say. Oh, did I have a lot to say? And I still have a lot more to say today, because it's time for today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start in Martin County, state unknown. 64-year-old Robert Hakins, he and a woman and a friend were in a hot tub on a back patio. The woman says that Hakins, who's 64 years old, did I already mention that? Hakins went inside to go to sleep while she and the friend stayed in the hot tub. The woman tells police she and the friend got romantic in the hot tub. Hakins got up out of bed, saw what they were doing. Hakins started yelling. He went into the home as the friend grabbed his stuff. Hakins came out with a gun and fired shots into the patio screen. Hakins told deputies he saw the two amidst an intimate act, and he grew enraged. He said he got his gun to scare them, firing shots toward the south part of the property. He denies that he physically assaulted either one of them. The friend, who was invited to the hot tub with Haykins and the woman. He did tell investigators he was being intimate in the hot tub when Haykins threatened them. He said he ran from the home and saw Haykins come out with the gun. Deputies found two cartridge casings and two holes in the screens. I don't know. People just party differently in some parts of the country than I'm used to. Today's signed story number two. Yeah, this one's awful too. It's the story of a businessman, 37-year-old Michael Jameson. A court has heard the story about how Jameson climbed out of his car window, took off all of his clothes, and appeared to start getting intimate with his car. He was driving a BMW. According to footage from an attending policeman's body cam, it showed the man with no clothes underneath the vehicle. A prosecution witness said he was sprawled naked across the roadway. The attorney for Jameson said it was obviously a bizarre set of circumstances. You think? And that his client was apologetic for his actions. The attorney added, Mr. Jameson is at a loss to explain his behavior. He was under an enormous amount of pressure from work. He seems to have simply lost it. He's appalled and grossly embarrassed. Whew. Tell you what, I got a lot of stress at work. I'm just glad it manifests itself in a different way. Jameson admits to outraging public decency, and he pleaded guilty to dangerous driving as well. I think he has a screw loose. All right, and finally in today's sign.
In twilight glow.
Country music legend Willie Nelson is broadening his market appeal from music and his own brand of marijuana. He now is marketing Willie's Remedy, a CBD-infused coffee. The whole bean coffee is infused with full-spectrum hemp extract, according to Nelson's website. It combines the benefits of cannabis and other plants. The coffee promises a natural lift, a perfect harmony of focus from the caffeine, plus calm from the cannabis. An 8-ounce bag retails for $36. Tell you what, that old hippie knows how to make a buck or two there. He's been a longtime pot advocate. He launched a brand of weed in 2016. Now he's got the coffee, edibles, and other stuff. Yeah, he's a capitalist, that man. And all of that is someday today's sign.
When we meet up yonder,
the end is near.
We'll stroll hand in hand again.
I gotta get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I will think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's Thursday show. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.